Hi, everyone. Mike Tirico. I know we are all still cooped up inside for the most part, self-isolating, washing our hands, doing everything we're supposed to do to help stop the spread of COVID-19, and hopefully get back to sports. Looks like we're all going to be in this same boat for the next month or so. So we've got some great content for you in a couple of places, here on the podcast and on NBCSN. Every night this week, it is football week in America. We're going back to some of the best games in the history of the best running series in sports. Sunday Night Football on NBC, which started back in 2006. So the library's big, and we've picked out some of the best ones, including we're going to start with the first ever Manning Bowl, Peyton against Eli. It was 2006. And just to set the table for what you'll see on NBCSN on Monday night, and a little bit later, by the way, we're going to talk to Drew Brees about another great game in this series. But let's start with a conversation. I had a chance to visit with Eli and Peyton about Manning Bowl and about reliving it on Football Week in America.
Well, this is going to be fun. We're trying to find the best way to keep you entertained during these difficult times. There's no live sports, so we're going back to a lot of old sports. And two, I don't want to say old guys, but retired football players join me now, Peyton Manning and Eli Manning. We're going back on Football Week in America to the first Manning Bowl, which was the first NBC Sunday night game in 2006. Peyton, I'll start with you. Were you glad that it was the first game of the season just to kind of get this inevitable matchup with your brother out of the way?
No doubt about it, Mike. I can promise you that neither Eli nor I ever referred to this game as the Manning Bowl. Those words never came out of our mouths. We were not very comfortable with that whole idea of being labeled after our last name when it's a team game. So the fact that it was just the first game, we got to get it all over with and get on to a normal regular season after this game was a good thing. But we really tried to enjoy it. We knew it was a special moment, and I was really proud to be on the same field as my little brother. I remember talking to him in pregame warm-ups. I remember singing the national anthem. We were lined up almost on the same yard across from each other, playing in front of 80,000 people. So it was a proud moment. It was an exciting game.
Eli, for you, it was just the second season for you as a full-time starter. So there's all of that in addition to everything else about playing your brother and all the hubbub going into the game.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Peyton had obviously as proved as a, you know, I think he'd already had an MVP. He'd, you know, been a starter for a long time, one of the best players at the time. And I'm just trying to get a feel for, you know, how to get us, you know, back into the playoffs and winning games and getting things organized. And so I was still a young player at the time. And so this was, I think, a great challenge for us in the Giants, knowing to start the season, we're going to be going against a team that was always in the playoffs and always one of the top teams. And so that's the way we looked at it. It's a great opportunity for us to see where we stand against a team that's been at the top over the last couple of years. And so we knew it was going to be a great contest for us and to start the season, a lot of energy. And, you know, we're just really excited about the opportunity to go against the Colts and see if we could hang with them.
Peyton, you first, then Eli. Just talk about how hard it was on Mom and Dad to watch you guys do this.
Absolutely brutal. They were pretty miserable the entire week and the entire 3 hours. I think the cameras caught them. Frankadelli always knows that your parents, your grandparents, your cousins are sitting. So he found them kind of hidden in their seats and got a zoom up of them. They looked miserable because they were miserable. That's a tough situation. I mean, who are they going for? Look, they're going for Eli. He's the baby in the family. I understand that. I was okay with that. But it was tough. I think they were pulling for a 55-53 shootout. Whoever wins, great. But obviously, my mom wanted us both to stay healthy. That was kind of always her thing. Like my dad probably wanted both offenses to play well. Look, we were coming off a very disappointing playoff loss to Pittsburgh the year before.
we were pretty angry. We were frustrated. We've been having a great season, knocking on the door, getting beat in the playoffs. And so we were very motivated coming into this season to try to take the next step. And we were lucky to take that next step. This was a close game, though. I remember that game. I don't remember anything about the game. All I remember is that there was a touchdown to Dallas Clark being guarded by Michael Strahan. That's the kind of matchup you're looking for, Mike, when you can get basically a tight end slash receiver being covered by the host of Good Morning America. You know, that's what I'm looking for in a matchup. And we got it, and we took advantage
of it. Eli, anything you remember specifically from the game, a play that stuck out for you?
You know, I remember just late in the game, you know, it was a tight game. We were down a score, and you know, within seven, I can't remember the exact score, but we had a little drive going. I hit a comeback to Tim Carter on the right sideline, and they call it offensive pass interference, and which set us back. And, you know, we weren't able to overcome from that. So I think, you know, obviously Peyton had tipped off the ref, and you know, and told him to call an interference on us. But like I said, I think Peyton said, like, for our parents, they were just hoping for that high scoring game, that 49-48, where obviously Vanderjack, we missed an extra point at the end to help us get the win. For, you know, they'd be happy about for multiple reasons, maybe.
I was glad we only had a free time because we pulled so hard for each other. Eli and I worked out together. We shared ideas in the offseason. We shared ideas about common opponents. And so nobody pulled harder for Eli than me, and nobody pulled harder for me than Eli. So when playing against them, sure, you want to do the best you can for your team, but I'm not over there going, telling Dwight Freeman, hey, let's go hit this quarterback hard. Man, when I'm playing against Tom Brady, I'm saying, hey, let's go hit this quarterback hard. And so there is a different feeling, but I keep going back to that real sense of pride. All three of those games, Mike, there's two in New York, one in Indianapolis. Got to talk to Eli before the game. That national anthem, I'm staring right at my brother. I truly did realize it was a special moment. All those years growing up, Eli coming to my high school games, I was going to his little league games, and to be out there on a real NFL field playing a real game, I could capture the moment, but it wasn't the most enjoyable game that he and I played it. I can promise you that, and we were kind of glad when it was over. And I remember people used to always say, boy, it'd be great if y'all could play against each other at a Super Bowl. No, it wouldn't. That would have been probably as bad a thing as you could have, because somebody's going to be happy, the other person's going to be disappointed. You know, I'm glad we missed three regular season games.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this was the first time we had ever competed against each other at any level. You know, Payne's 5 years older than me, so we never played little league baseball or basketball. We were never in high school at the same time where we even practiced against each other from any level at any sport. And, you know, I've had to watch more little league baseball and basketball games, and I've seen every single one of his football games from when he started in seventh grade, that eighth grade year. Justin Reyna was running great post-corner routes. It was unstoppable for him through his high school. You know, JV and high school to Tennessee. I mean, every time I've watched and been rooting for him, and I knew going in, this would be the first time that I wasn't rooting for him. I needed him to make some mistakes. I needed him to fumble the ball. You know, I'd seen all the mistakes he'd made. I knew it was possible. We just needed to all come out in one game.
Thank you.
And unfortunately, it did not.
You guys are the best. One quick thing. Will you sit, or have you sat and watched this game? Because I'm thinking your kids are just a little bit older now and obviously know the family history and know you guys. Would you be able to sit and enjoy watching the 2006 first meeting if you sit down and watch it now? Eli, I'll let you go first.
I think Peyton would enjoy it better than I would, obviously. It's a better outcome. But I think I could, just because, you know, when you remember the games, and you remember certain plays, but you just can't remember maybe that third down conversion. I remember Strahan, Dallas Clark Garden straight hand in the right corner of the end zone on a zone blitz. Bate kind of rolled out right, hit him. So you remember plays, but you can't remember the whole outcome. But I think my kids, my oldest is 9. I think, you know, she remembers seeing Peyton play. She remembers seeing me play, but never us playing against each other. I think she would enjoy watching that. This thing is funny that, you know, her uncle is playing her dad in ball games. I think it would be you know, somewhat enjoyable now to, I think, you can watch it and laugh about it.
Yeah, Mike, I think my kids will probably watch it just because they love watching Uncle Eli play and love being around their Uncle Eli. So to kind of watch us both on the field at the same time is something they'll enjoy. For me, I think I'll probably watch it just to see some of the old players. You forget about some of the players that were maybe on that team. I remember that team, obviously, because it was our first Super Bowl team, and we've gotten together at reunions, and we still talk about some of the great times of that season. So that was a special team and a special bond, and so memory lane too often. So due to these kind of strange conditions we're in, maybe it's down memory lane and enjoy it. I think my kids will enjoy it at the same time.
And let's leave everyone with a thought on that. I mean, all of you, like all of us, are dealing with different circumstances and different times. Eli, it's for you as you start retirement. Eli, I'll let you go first. Then Peyton, just a message to a lot of the folks and the football fans, just the Americans out there who are trying to deal with some of the most difficult times our country's ever seen. Eli?
Yeah, obviously, this is a lot of unknowns, and we don't know you know, what tomorrow's going to look like next week, next month. And so, obviously, I think it's just about making adjustments. This is new for everybody. You know, we're trying to put our kids in school, and they're doing school online. But you understand it's different for those teachers, and they have their own kids to deal with. And so, you know, we're all making adjustments. I think it feels kind of like, you know, maybe my first week going into the NFL, and you show up at a team and it's all new, and you're just trying to, you know, kind of get through each day at a time, get a little bit better, find your routine. And obviously the number one priority is the safety of everybody, your friends, your family. So we are hunkered down here at home, and we're, you know, washing our hands, staying safe, and just, you know, thinking about and praying about all those people, you know, that are out there that you know, have the coronavirus, and hoping they can have a, you know, heal up quickly, and thinking about all the doctors and nurses that are on the front lines and helping this pandemic. So our thoughts and prayers are out to everybody, and just for everybody to try to stay patient, to get through this, try to have a positive attitude, but also believe that we are going to get through this. We are resilient, and we will find a way to strive through this and get over it and start living our normal lives again.
Well, best to your families and to Mom and Dad and Cooper and all the Mannings who have given us so many smiles and a chance to relive some of that, and also a lot of personal memories for all of us. Guys, thanks for taking a few minutes. We wish you the absolute best, and we look forward to visiting under better circumstances with two of our favorite retired quarterbacks. Thanks, Eli. Thanks, Peyton.
Thanks, Mike. Later, bro.
Thank you to Eli and Peyton for joining us, reliving some of the memories of Manning Bowl. As you are trying to find time, then it's most important to stay with the news, right, and find out what's going on. But you need to get away and get an escape. And as you do with sports, we've got some great podcasts for you. Fresh stuff. Peter King with Matt Ryan, the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, and their new look and the exciting new addition he has here in this offseason. And Chris Sims, as we get closer to the draft here coming up in April, breaking down position by position. The wide receiver breakdown is terrific. I love what Chris had to say about Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver from LSU. So those are available wherever you get your NBC podcast. Okay, another visit now with another player. We'll look back later on in Football Week in America to one of the big games involving Drew Brees, one of the many in which he set records. But Drew and his wife Brittany and their family are setting a high mark in another way as well. And I had a chance to visit with Drew earlier this week.
As we continue to relive some of the best moments of NBC's Sunday Night Football and keeping people entertained, here's one of the best people in the league, Drew Brees, to join us. We'll talk about the games that we feature with Drew here in a little bit. But first, we need to talk about what you, your wife Brittany, your family, have done in terms of your donation in this very difficult time, $5 million donation for COVID-19 relief. Your connection with New Orleans has been pretty special. Can you just talk about what you were feeling and you and Brittany were thinking as you went ahead to come out and make this donation on behalf of those who really need it at a very difficult time in our country?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. Well, obviously there's so many people in need right now. What's happening is unprecedented. And, you know, it's different than in natural disaster situations where it's typically maybe relegated to a certain region in the country, right? And everybody kind of rushes to that region to help. Well, in this case, it's everywhere, right? So I think for us, when you look at the state of Louisiana, especially, small businesses are the lifeblood of that state and that economy, as is the hospitality industry. And in so many cases, those have been hit the hardest. You know, all those people have been laid off. They're out of work. And so as I look at the landscape in Louisiana right now, there is so much need. And so just assessing that and figuring out where we can step in and help and do our part has been really difficult. And yet, I think first and foremost, making sure that families are taken care of, making sure that, you know, kids that were on meal programs in school that have discontinued, making sure that they're fed, making sure that the frontline workers are taken care of, making sure that their kids are taken care of. In many cases, you know, when all the schools close down, you know, these kids are going home to parents that might be nurses or people in the healthcare industry. They're having to go to work to help save lives. You know, what happens to their kids? So all these child care programs are being set up now in Louisiana. We're jumping right in to help take care of those kids, feed those kids. So many elderly out there that rely on this as well. So that's really where we're starting right now, is with a lot of these meal programs to make sure that these families are fed and taken care of. And then from there, obviously, this will evolve to address the most immediate needs.
I've gotten to see a great part of your career and cover it, and knew you as a kid from Texas who went to Purdue and then out to San Diego. And you have had roots in all of those areas, especially even Southern California, going out there still at times. But your connection with New Orleans is so different from the connection a lot of athletes have with a lot of cities. Obviously, it's the success, it's the longevity, it's what those people have given to you. But what is it about that place that has made it home for you, Brittany, and the rest of your family in perhaps a different way than maybe other athletes who have a long run in a city?
Well, I think just our journey to New Orleans, you know, let's just start there. I mean, it was the most unlikely of scenarios. You know, I'm obviously coming off of that shoulder injury, not sure if I'd ever have an NFL career beyond that. And New Orleans gave me a chance. They gave me an opportunity. They saw something in me that even at the time, maybe I was struggling in seeing in myself. And so I think we lean on each other at that time, during a critical time, I think, for both of us, the city coming off of Hurricane Katrina 6 months prior to that. And here we are 15 years later, and to watch that city come back better than ever, and to have been part of that resurgence. I think it's such a tight knit community. There's a fabric there. There's a, just that culture and the charm and the love of the city. I mean, even just walking around now, whenever I see people in the community, not many people say much about football, you know, or fantasy football. They want to talk about the city, and they want to talk about the community part of it, and just, you know, the stuff that I think goes well beyond just the realm of sports. I mean, obviously sports is what brought us there, but it was truly a calling well beyond sports.
And you hit on what I've always sensed about New Orleans, and seeing you and observing your interaction with the people of the city. Maybe that's what resonates to me. The people of New Orleans are very visible, even the high-profile people of New Orleans. I think back of Archie Manning. I think of Wynton Marsalis. I think of musicians, politicians, people in sports. For whatever reason, it feels like that membrane, that barrier between the people, the fans of these sports and entertainment entities and the athletes or the stars is a lot thinner and smaller in New Orleans. It just seems to be more real than in other places. Is that a fair assessment for somebody who doesn't live there, from someone who's lived there for 15 plus years now?
Yeah, yeah, it's a small town, and everybody knows one another, and at the same time, everybody takes care of one another. You know, I mean, very, very few places, I think, especially for a professional athlete, can I literally look down my block and say, I know all of my neighbors, right? And as you walk down the street, walking your dog, right, or just out, you're stopping, having conversations, you know, sharing red beans and rice or jambalaya or, you know, crawfish boil or whatever it might be, you know, I mean, truly... Those aren't just stories like that. That actually happens. And so it is unique. And maybe it's that New Orleans is literally landlocked, you know, between Lake Pontchartrain to the north and the Mississippi River to the south and all around you. So you can't escape even if you wanted to, but it's truly community. It's truly family.
All right, let me hit a couple of these games we're going to look back on. We're going to talk about the opener, taking on Green Bay in 2011, and then a record you set, the breaking Johnny Unitas' record in 2012 against your old team, the Chargers. I want to focus on that one because that had so many different elements to it. It's your old team. It's the record of one of truly the all-time greats in National Football League history in Johnny Unitas in terms of touchdown passes in consecutive games. Can you just reflect back on the emotions of that specific game and going into it as all of this kind of built towards one incredible evening for you?
Yeah. Let's not forget, too, that was the year that Sean Payton was suspended. So, you know, Sean Payton was not technically allowed to be anywhere close to, you know, our organization or football in general. And I'd sent a request to the league that he could be present at that game. So that he could watch that and be a part of it, because obviously he was such a huge part of that. And I think what was so unique about that record was, you know, that wasn't a record that just spanned over one season. You know, that spanned over about four different seasons, right? So there were so many people that were a part of that. You know, guys watching from home that might have been like, yeah, I caught one of those touchdown passes, or I blocked for one of those touchdown passes, you know, or played defense on the other side for one of those. So there were so many people that were a part of that, and you wanted everybody to feel that moment together. And listen, we've had some pretty incredible eruptions in the Superdome, you know, in my career for various reasons, and that was absolutely one of them as well.
Well, we'll get a chance to go back and watch that game when it airs on Football Week in America. I'm just curious. If you happen to have some free time, and this would be the time of year that you would, and I know you got the kids and everything going on, if you happen to come across one of your games on TV, will you stop and watch it? Can you remove yourself from the XO of it all and just appreciate and enjoy the football game and you playing in a game that might be 5, 6, 7 years old?
I'd absolutely stop and watch it, but I can't watch it as a fan, right? Like I will be analyzing every little thing. I'll be predicting, you know, the next play is this, and here's why we ran it, and this is who we were trying to attack, and here's why, and oh, this is what had happened previously in that game, and so we felt like we'd set up the play, and I'd totally do that. But what's great though is to have the opportunity to do that with my kids, right? Because rarely you sit there with your kids and watch a game and you can give them some insight into, you know, the why and how, and just kind of watch their little brains work.
And I'm sure you're going to have them run in the same pattern. So you can throw to them and then go through the rest of the progression and say, okay, if you're covered, I'm going here, I'm going here. That is you to a T. Hey, we are really glad that you and your family are healthy. We take our hat off to all of you for all that you've done in the past and are doing now for Louisiana. And we're all, as football fans, really excited that we get to see you back on the football field for another year or two. It's great for all of us. And thanks for a few minutes in a difficult time and providing a little bit of a diversion for all of us. You all stay safe, Drew.
All right, Mike. You too. Thanks.
Thanks to Drew, thanks to Peyton, thanks to Eli. Most importantly, thanks to you. As we go through this time, we're all trying to find things to do. Remember, Football Week in America, 7 Eastern, NBCSN, every night this coming week. And as we go through, we'll also share some more conversations with some of the important folks in sports just to keep you occupied and busy. Stay safe, stay healthy, Take care of those you love, because we're going to need to see you. We have a very busy sports calendar whenever we get back to business, and we need you there with us. Until then, Mike Tirico, thanks for hanging with us. See you down the road.